Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
You're listening to Power Athlete Radio, a podcast dedicated to empowering your performance every damn day. Join former NFL pro and Power Athlete founder John Wellborn as he dissects the greatest minds in strength, conditioning, and more. So whether your goal is to be the hammer, destroy mediocrity, or simply move the dirt, you've come to the right place. Now with the warm-up done, let the gains begin.
All right, Power Athlete Nation, I want you guys to welcome Mr. Arash Safwani and Mr. Philippe Costa to the podcast, to Power Athlete Radio. I feel like this is a timely one for the fact that last year we did some goal setting in 2023. Was it 2023?
I think it was the beginning of this year.
Or was it 2024?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere like at the end of the year, whether it was in December, January, we did some goal setting. And it's kind of neat to sit here a year later and kind of reflect a little bit on not only what you accomplished, but the fact that you're coming off of this big world championship at IBJJF World Champ Nogi, which was one of the things that you mentioned that you wanted to accomplish.
We did it, right? Like, man, it's been an amazing journey with you guys, with the Six Blades crew, with the Power Athlete crew. You know, we've just been training a lot. I remember that whenever we did this goal setting, I think Victor mentioned like, oh yeah, and you got to go after your first world title this year, right? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm ready, you know? And man, I've been just dreaming about it since I was a kid, you know, since I did my first steps in jiu-jitsu, I was dreaming about being a world champion, you know? And how I said, whenever I finished the tournament, I didn't really have the opportunity to fight at the color belts at the world champion. So that's actually my first one, like ever, you know?
Oh, sure.
And it was really special, I think, for the moments and for the people that share with me, you know? So I think it was a good moment to happen because I was working really hard. I had the right people close to me, you know? And I feel that, how I said, we did it, you know? Whenever I was about to fight in the finals, everything that comes to my mind was like all the persons that were behind it, you know, that were working with me every single day, that were like sending me messages. And I was just like, yeah, now is the time, you know, that's the fight, you know, like, and then right before getting in, I was like, yeah, I'm not walking backwards. I'm not taking one step backwards, you know. Doesn't matter what happened, if this guy taking me down, I'm not backing away, you know, I'm just going after him until I get a submission. And then I got the submission and I was like, yeah, that's what is up, you know, like.
You got tired of bullying 48-year-old blue belt?
I do appreciate it. It's good for my self-confidence. Believe me, I come home and I'm still mad about it. Do you feel that there was like a pivotal moment? Because I saw one where there was a huge change. And I felt that, you know, the training up until the point where all of a sudden ADCC, where you had to go down to Brazil and win the trials and then come back. I felt that like that moment and like a little bit of the, you know, do I belong here? Am I the right, you know, like, you know, have I earned the right to go to the ADCC? And I felt that moment and the success you had at ADCC, especially in that match with Giancarlo, you know, you ended up losing on points. But then when you went into that bronze match And I saw that guy kind of get you in that heel hook. And I like, I know he broke your foot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you just didn't tap. And the dude was literally cranking and looking at you and cranked. And he realized he couldn't crank anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to stop and do something else. And you end up winning that one. I felt that that moment was kind of the coming through the fog where like now, like I know I can compete on this world stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt that that moment was huge. Did you feel like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that how you said, like, going to Brazil and winning the trials right there was a big moment because I earned the spot, you know, was not like given, you know, they didn't give me the spot, was not an invitation. I went there and I conquered, you know, I got my spot. And then whenever I went to the HCC, I was coming from a loss, right? Because I fought the Who's Number One and then I lost. And
yeah, that was a weird one.
That was a weird one. That's the thing. Like,
I don't want to give I don't want to give an excuse, but I do know you were sick,
mm-hmm.
and I hate excuses. And you should be able to do it when you were out. But I felt like that was a weird hiccup.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I was feeling really good for the fight and everything, you know. But how you said I was sick, and I don't even like to talk about that, yeah. you know, because for me it doesn't matter. In the end of the day, but I remember that that was also like the point that I'm like, man, I'm not letting that happen anymore, you know, like not even like if I'm sick, I'm not fighting, I'm just gonna fight whenever I feel like that I'm 100%. And HCC, man, I was there 100%, you know, like I whenever the guy got my foot in the third place fight, I was like, yeah, no, there's no way, like I'm not tapping. You can crank, like
I was there,
he can pop,
and you were like,
no, yeah,
and the dude was like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Like you just like, no, I'm not fucking tapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking figure something else out.
Yeah. I think the fire of winning was way bigger than the pain over there, you know? So I was like, yeah, you can crank it. You can pop it, but I'm not tapping. And after you let it go, I'm going after you, you know? And that's what I did. Whenever he let it go, I was like, yeah, now it's my turn, you know? And then I went after him. And I think that was also like during the fight, he also, because he tried and was really close and he didn't get it, I think he also like back out a little bit. He was kind of like, oh man, I didn't get it, you know? And that's when I felt like, oh, now it's my turn, you know? And then I could get the back. But yeah, that was a great moment. I think HCC was a good point of the year, you know, to say that I was there, you know, like it was my first big appearance and was a great one, you know? And I feel that in the beginning of the year, whenever we talk about it, me and Victor, we said like, oh, we're going to be doing that together, you know? And then in the end of the day, CGI happens and Victor ended up fighting CGI, but we did all the preparation together. We were together through the whole time, you know? And whenever we got to Vegas, we stayed together. We did a couple first trainings together. We just like, when we just separate, whenever I went to the HCC and he went to the CGI, you know, so for me, he was there the whole time, you know, and I think that was something that we said that we were doing together and we did, you know, so for me, it was a great moment too. And yeah, I think that was the point of that. I'm kind of like, oh, okay, boom, I'm here, you know.
What changed in your preparation for these big tournaments? Because, you know, I've always known that you're a world-class champion. I always knew that you're a world champion in the making, but it seemed like 2024, you shifted into a gear. What was the most important aspect of your preparation that helped you propel yourself there? Was it a mental thing? Was it in the physical preparation, combination of both?
We interrupt this episode with a shameless self-promotion. Commit more, get more. Commit to 365 days of battle-tested, no bullshit programming. And we'll throw in lifetime access to our nutrition protocols, plus a one-on-one consultation absolutely free, so we can craft you a game plan for 2025. I spent a decade smashing heads in the NFL and even longer building monsters in the weight room. So I know exactly what it takes to turn your strength conditioning goals into reality. So whether you want to learn to lift or crush the competition, Power Athlete has you covered. Commit to the cause at powerathletehq.com. Pick the program, then select Athlete Yearly at checkout to claim this limited time offer. Don't sit on the sidelines. Sign up today. Now back to the show.
Man, I think it was the combination of both, you know. And I think that 2023 was a year that I got close to a lot of like top podiums, you know. Like I took second opinions, third awards. But I felt that, man, just a little bit more and I'm going to be there, you know. So then I was like, yeah, I'm going to give everything that I have right now, you know. Like 2024 is the year, you know. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to do everything that I can, you know. And I felt that was really close. So I was like, yeah, now is the time that I really need to put the work on. Because I feel that whenever you get to these moments, you're either going to put the work and make it happen. Or you're going to be like, oh, yeah, like... it's not happening, you know?
What could have been?
Yeah. Yeah, what could have been? But then I was like, yeah, I'm putting the work, you know? It doesn't matter what happened at the end of the day. If it's not supposed to happen, I was like, if it's not supposed to happen, it's not going to happen. I'm fine with that, you know? But I'm going to do everything that I can to make it happen.
What I told John earlier was that I noticed that you were texting us more often in 2024. So talk about making it happen. Well, I think he was making training happen. He was making sure that we were here.
Mm-hmm. Well, he started pushing more, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, one of the one things, and I'll tell you, I had reservations about you doing the weight cut. Mm-hmm. You know, I like you had worked so hard to gain that weight and your strength was there. And the thing I worry about, especially in the training space, is if you do a, you know, 10% weight cut, we're going to be 10% weaker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are you still going to have the same capacity? You're going to be tired. And what was interesting was your strength didn't drop off. And if anything, it improved. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we were monitoring everything with the max wattage on the Echo bikes for the Superhuman protocol. And your peak wattage was going through the roof. Mm-hmm. Like you PR'd your peak wattage in a weight cut. And on top of it, the repetitive, you know, our, you know, 2 through 8s on those numbers, on those wattage, all of a sudden those were climbing. So it was wild that all of a sudden you cut from 218, 220 down to like, you know, 200, 201, you know, all of a sudden around that 200. So it was a legitimate 20 pounds. Your strength went through the roof. I felt like your recovery was better and your peak wattage went up. And so I wonder if that extra weight you were carrying was, you know, mm-hmm. one of the hindrances for mm-hmm. your recovery. And then the other one, which was pretty wild that I saw many times, but I had forgotten, was when we went to Open Mat 2 weeks ago on Friday and I watched you and Victor tussle. And you were giving away 50 pounds and I don't feel like he was pushing you around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was pretty interesting. Like I remember seeing when you were 220 and he was probably 250. So I'm like, 30 pounds. Like they're both over 100 kilos. Now all of a sudden you're like 200 pounds and he's still 250, you know, 255, 245. And you guys were throwing down and I didn't feel like he was pushing you around. He was trying to bully you and you weren't mm-hmm. letting him bully you.
Finally.
I know. Well, I feel like, you know, and then the funny part is, and this is purely just out of observation, the amount of animosity and battle that you give Victor, I want you to give other people that mm-hmm, same fucking mm-hmm. deal. Like for some reason, when I watch you and Victor fight, like it's a level of intensity that I haven't really seen outside of anything else.
Until recently, when he got on top and then I see the head and arm and I'm like, oh, this is Mad Philippe.
Yes.
He's frothing at the mouth for the opportunity mm-hmm. to tap this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was glad that you, I mean, how cool was it that you got a submission to win the world championship and not a points deal?
Yeah.
You know, the other one too. And I wonder if when you, competed with Giancarlo at ADCC, you know, he's considered, you know, the best and, you know, multi-time ADCC champion. Did you feel that, you know, his jiu-jitsu was comparable? And I remember you getting done and being like, yeah, I lost, but I don't feel like his jiu-jitsu was better. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I felt that there was a good confidence piece.
This episode of Power Athlete Radio is powered by Train Heroic, the most immersive strength training app experience on the market. We've built an online training business by partnering with Train Heroic to deliver all of our world-class training programs like Jack Street, Hammer, Field Strong, and Grindstone. To learn which Power Athlete training program best suits your goals, head to powerathletehq.com/training. And if you're a coach looking to build a business with the best training tech in the business, head to trainheroic.com/powerathletehq. And now back to the show.
Yeah, like he's a guy that it's really... he has a really good strategic game, you know. He knows how to play the game pretty well, you know, and he knows the place that he wants to be. Like, he knows the position that he's good, so he knows, like, where he wants to get it. And that's something really important in jiu-jitsu because, for example, Shanji always talks about, like, yo, where you're going to get it to finish the match. What's the place that you feel that you're going to get there and finish the match, you know? And I feel that... he got to the place that he won a couple times during the match. I think he got two times The first time that he got it was in my back. He went to my back and I escaped. And then whenever I escaped, I could feel that he got kind of like, because most of people that he get there, he probably submitted, right? So whenever I escaped, he kind of like back away a little, but he start to put his mind right again and come back to the game pretty fast. I took him down a couple times too, and in the end of the last 20 seconds, he got my back again, but then he put the hooks in and he got the points, right? But I felt like, man, I start to believe on the match a little late, you know? I started the match a little slow, he started pretty strong, you know? And I was feeling him around. I feel that whenever we fight again, I'm gonna have a different mindset, you know? I feel that people that go fast with him, since he has like a little slow and pace game, gets a better beginning, but they get tired, you know? So mm-hmm. I feel that the conditioning needs to be there, the strength needs to be there, the technical part needs to be there, so I can go fast, technical, and have the conditioning to go all the 15 minutes, you know? So
he's strong too.
He's strong.
I was, you know, knowing how strong you are and watching you guys have exchanges, he's stout, he's real strong, and he's short, he's like 5'10". Yeah. You know, so you're giving away, I mean, what are you, 6'6"?
I think Philippe's 6'6".
Is he?
Yeah. Judging by the photos.
Yeah. So what are you, like 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'2", 6'2", 6'3".
So, why?
Huh?
Oh, is he taller than you?
I think so.
I love the fact that you guys are.
He wears heel lifts.
No.
Well, everybody's shorter than me, so you guys are all short.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an interesting piece, man. I mean, he's also older than you too, though, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and realistically, you know, the training that we've been doing has only been happening for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys have only been in a legitimate strength conditioning training program for 2 years. And, you know, that's a pretty exciting deal. I was laughing. I told Arash this the other day that, you know, Power Athlete, while not on a, like, a global marketing scale, but in terms of, like, training elite athletes, I mean, we work with the guys at, you know, Development Group, and we also work with world champions. And so our stable is extremely deep for some of the best players in the world. So it's like, if you know, you know. And it was exciting to see. I remember Arash texted me, "Are you watching this?" I'm like, "Yeah, fucking, of course we're watching it." And so it was neat to see you go in and finish that guy and then be able to do it. So, I mean, it's great that you made good on it. So in the same vein and a little bit of tradition, what is on the 2025 list on the whiteboard for Mr. Philippe Costa?
Maybe a no-gi calendar? We can put up for sale.
Oh,
maybe a little calendar. Mm-hmm. Now that you have this new body composition and you actually have a tricep.
So what's out there? I mean, obviously UFC Fight Pass, you know, mm-hmm. is pretty amazing to go out and see. I've been out to a few of them for Victor. So, I mean, that's good to see. What else is out there?
Who's number one? So UFC Fight Pass, the last one that was two weekends ago, Ronaldo from Atos, he won his match and he actually said my name. He was like, the guy asking him like, "Oh, who we want to fight next?" Sure. Next, and he said my name. So I think that would be a good fight to make it happen. Ronaldo Jr. at UFC Invitational. Who's number one? I'm waiting for another opportunity. You know, that's a tournament that I really want to fight because they make a lot here in Austin, right? Happens here in Austin. So it's a good place to fight and have everyone go, you know, it's a place that I feel good fighting. So that would be great to have another fighter who's number one. And any other super fights? I have one super fight in Virginia on February. Yes, the first, probably going to be the first one of the year. And yeah, I want to also do some gi, you know, do some gi, probably fight the words in the gi. And yeah, enjoy, you know, I want to not think a lot about like, oh, that's what I want to win, because I never fought like that. I think that I just want to train hard, enjoy life, and enjoy with you guys, you know?
Oh.
I feel that's the best thing of like winning. It's like how I said in the beginning, who shares with you, you know? Like whenever I'm training over there, I'm not thinking about like, oh, that's the tournament that I need to win or blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking about like, I want to enjoy this time with those guys, you know? Because I feel that
living in the moment.
that is going to go away, you know, like I'm not going to live this life of professional athlete forever, you know. So I want to live every single training with you guys and enjoy every single moment.
You know? Yeah. Thanks for making me rosy cheeked with the idea of enjoying life with you. I think it could be really fun. But on your radar, would you ever be curious or even move to compete in CJI if you got the opportunity?
Yeah. I think Craig Jones already said, right, that he's making CJI 2 next year, and that would be a great opportunity, you know. That would be actually one that probably me and Victor would do together in different divisions. I think that depends on the division that they post, I'm probably cutting the weight to go down. Because that's the thing. Before I cut the weight for the ACC, I thought that as like, yo, that's going to be hard, you know, that's going to be a hard task. But man, whenever I start to kind of like fix the food, how I control, how I weigh the food.
Oh, so you started eating better.
Yeah, that was pretty easy, you know? That was pretty easy. That was not a hard task, so.
This guy would eat a kilo of rice and beans every night.
Yeah.
And then wake up and wonder why he looked like Wagyu.
I'm so inflamed. But it worked.
But if it was 80 kilos, would you be able to do an under 80?
I think so.
What's that? 172?
It's like 16 or 17 pounds less than what he weighed at ACC.
That'd be a tough cut.
That's a tough cut, but at the same time.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, because 80 is 172, I think.
I'm wondering, because you achieved a lot in the ACC, does the prospect of competing at the CJI kind of ruin your chances of participating ACC in the future? Or?
I don't think so. I think this year the problem is because they put in the same date, right?
Yeah.
But ATC, they don't ask for any exclusive contract, nothing like that, you know?
Didn't they book CGI 2 the same weekend as something else going on?
No, I don't think it has. I don't think the date has been set just yet.
Well, I do follow Craig Jones because he's hilarious. Yeah. But all of his posts are kind of dark, almost like he's making a snuff film. I feel like he's like in the middle of like 8mm. If you guys have ever seen that with Nicolas Cage, like there's some weird darkness going on. I think he might have like gone a little too far with maybe some Romanian witchcraft or cocaine or hookers or something. But whatever he's doing, he's gone deep, and he might not be the hero we want, but he could be the hero we need.
Yeah.
So
he's Batman.
He is Batman. His troll game is excellent too.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody, you know, I mean, we established Gordon Ryan is very, very good at his craft. But as good as Gordon Ryan is at jiu-jitsu, I believe Craig Jones is equally as good at trolling and jiu-jitsu. So in terms of a cumulative effect of like trolling ability and jiu-jitsu, I think like in a point total, if we were going to like rate players, I think he's off the charts in just combined skills.
Or value to jiu-jitsu community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Gordon's he's not very good at trolling, and like the weird kind of homages and the like, it's a weird social media. And all Craig does is like a vulture. He's just waiting on a post to just pick him to pieces. And he must be like, rats, he got me again. You know, it's like a Scooby-Doo thing where they pull the mask up. Gordon's like, if it wasn't for you meddling kids, everybody would love me. And he's like, no, just there to light you up. And he's great. He's funny. He's witty. And I still laugh about when we were at the UFC Fight Pass where he was fighting Lovato, where they came in holding hands or doing fireball shots. And he's like, I got nothing. I haven't trained. I'm going to go out and try to heel hook him in the first 30 seconds. If it goes past it, then I got nothing.
Yeah.
And then comes out and gets a heel hook. I mean, like the foot deal in like a 12 seconds.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, holy shit, dude, that guy, like Babe Ruth called his shot, did fireball shots, and then went out and made it happen. I mean, that's some fucking gangster shit.
Yeah.
So a tip of the hat to Craig Jones.
Do you see yourself being a kind of a character in jiu-jitsu, or Because I see you as such a wholesome guy.
No, he is. Yeah. He's actually the antithesis of Greg Jones.
Right.
Right. So those guys are doing coke. They're hookers and this. And then we got Philippe Costa over here.
Cassio Costa,
who told me yesterday the only two drinks he's ever had is when they gave him a cup of beer and a tequila shot on his black belt. So that's it. Doesn't drink. Isn't all over apps. Isn't out there, you know, bareback and hookers like Craig Jones. So a quality, good kid in jiu-jitsu. I don't know if it'll, I mean, it's a bold move, Cotton. Will it pan out? Well, I think what we found, and this is what we see with professional sports, if you're something you're not, it feels disingenuous. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times you see people where you're like, that's not really who they are. Mm-hmm. Like, we all know it's all bullshit. And so I think for him, like, it was kind of like even similar to when we did the Who's Number One. And I know you weren't shit talking the guy in the press conference,
yeah,
because I know you and I know you're not a good shit talker because we talk shit all the time and you're not good. You made a funny point about, I don't think his jiu-jitsu, he has anything for me. And I think there was lost in translation. What I think you were meaning to say is like, I know this guy and I understand his jiu-jitsu and there's nothing that he's going to do that I haven't already seen before, which is a much cleaner way of saying it. Yeah. And I knew you were saying it. It didn't come out that way. So it looked like you were talking shit.
He's nothing special.
Yeah. He has nothing for me. And I heard it and I was like, I looked at Victor. I'm like, is Philippe talking shit? And he's like, oh God, I hope not. And I know you weren't talking shit, but that guy used it because, so in the NFL, for those of you guys that are home listening, we have what's called bulletin board material. So teams would come out or people would say stupid shit and they would cut it out and they'd put it on like a bulletin board and they'd be like, these guys say you suck. And they'd put up like periodically, they would put up these like cutouts from the newspaper. I mean, people don't even read fucking newspapers anymore. So they would like print shit out. And we used to always call it bulletin board material. And I think some people read that shit. Other people take it to heart. Oh, this is what they said. It's all bullshit. But I feel like in that moment, the guy like kind of like all of a sudden like puffed up a little bit. And then ended up not going. So then I remember we laughed about it later and you were like, yeah, I'm never saying anything like that ever again. Mm-hmm. But you weren't talking shit. You were just, there was something lost in translation.
Yeah. I feel that, man, in jiu-jitsu also, it's hard for you to talk shit that much, you know, because everyone, it's such a small community, you know, so I don't really like the idea of talking shit to someone and then later on see them around all the time, you know. It's different than UFC that you're not gonna see the guy, you know.
Well, it's never, it's like you're out hanging out and you see Nicholas Maragalli,
yeah,
and you're like,
yeah, like we all like, it's such a small community in the end of the day, you know, we know everyone that is.
I'm so sad I wasn't there. I would have loved to. I would have gladly have loved to talk shit to Maragalli.
Somebody who throws lances. Yeah,
go ahead. I wish that there was like a button that you could press on your phone that would automatically like the genie appear, which could be me, the genie, and Philippe would be like, and all of a sudden it'd be like, damn.
I'm trying to corrupt Philippe at every possible moment.
And I get to show up and I'd be like, hey, Mary, goalie, what are we doing here? Yeah. Oh, that guy.
The funny thing is the first time you said Maragalli was genuine and I knew it because you didn't even call me by my right name for 2 months straight. Yeah. I'm like, this guy actually might be bad at names.
I'm terrible at names. Like, I'm not only am I bad at names, I'm bad at faces.
Yeah.
So I meet people all the time like, oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. And they're like, no, we've met a dozen times. And they'll say their name and I'm like, never seen this person before in my life. I've never heard this. And my wife gives me this dirty look constantly to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. She's like, how do you not remember any of these people? I'm like, I have to meet you numerous times for it to sink in. Yeah. And it's just because it's a handicap. It's a disability.
Have you ever seen the Black Panther?
Yeah.
The movie?
Yeah.
Okay. There's like his suit of armor absorbs all the shots and then he can like activate it and then blast it back out. I feel like you and I and Caveman Matt throwing lances at Philippe on like some random Wednesday or Friday. You know, because we say the most deplorable shit.
That's true.
To Philippe before his lifts and he goes, okay, I am going to remember that. And then all of a sudden, he's like, Arash, tomorrow is a training at 9:30.
Yeah, I'm going to triangle you there 34 times.
He pushes his Black Panther button, and then he lets it all out. And I'm like, dude, this is the wrong guy to talk shit to, honestly.
Wrestler Matt yesterday, when we were training, Fleep was talking about the fact that he'd only had two drinks. Mm-hmm. Like, Matt was fucking beside himself to the point where, like, he was, like, walking around in circles. He's like, what the fuck? You know? Because Matt and I went to a concert and we had like a few drinks and he was wrecked. And he's like, it's because I haven't been fucking drinking. So now his whole thing is now I got to build my tolerance back up. So the other day, I think it was Saturday night, Jamie had a birthday party to go to. So I drove her over there and it was two doors down from Matt's house. So I was like, oh, fuck. So I drive by, he has no Christmas lights up. And so the joke, my brothers, so years ago when I was traveling, I didn't put up Christmas lights and my brothers drove by and they were taking pictures and then they went up and they just put up blue lights and they were like, just fucking with me about not being like in the Christmas spirit. And I'm going to put up blue lights because obviously, you know, the only people that don't put up are, you know, people that are Jewish and just like fucking with me. Right. And then they put up blue lights and I'm like, okay. So I drove by and Matt didn't have Christmas lights. So I took a picture and I sent it to our like funny group text. I'm like, what are you too lazy to put up Christmas lights? Yeah. And so I went and knocked on the door. And he was there and he was like holding 10 beers. I'm like, what are you doing with those beers? He's like, oh, we're going to a Christmas party. And then I asked his wife, how come Matt didn't put up Christmas lights? She's like, I've been telling him for weeks. Yeah. So then the next day he sends me like, they're all like fucked up, all like wrapped over. He's like, this is what she gets for hungover Christmas lights.
Oh, God.
So Matt was beside himself when he said that he'd only, and then he said to me, he's like, think about how much more we could have accomplished in life if we didn't drink.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Red Circle.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
And I'm like, God damn, these kids have figured it the fuck out.
But the lack of stories.
Yeah. No, he doesn't have good stories.
No.
He's like, I went home and decided to go for a run and then I went to bed. Well, you just turned 25. We had your birthday party, which was fun. Mm-hmm. You turned 25 and now, you know, this is kind of an interesting piece because you're approaching manhood. You know, humans mm-hmm. are the slowest growing mammals on the planet. We mature at about the age of 26. That's why I don't really count anything you do before the age of 25, 26, like you're necessarily responsible for.
All the submissions that you get yeah. before 26.
Yeah. So. But when, what age was Shanji a world champion?
Man.
In his 20s, early 20s?
I think so. Yeah. Probably 22, 23.
And then Victor? World champion, probably in the same deal?
Same deal. I think Victor was 23 or 22 also.
Yeah, so you guys are all about the same. Yeah, yeah. All young guys doing in this. Mm, and yeah. So the idea now is, as we were talking about on the podcast before this, one of the things, and I know you don't do this, but the idea of like, okay, I did that, but I'm not content and that there's more, you know, there's more gold to hang around my neck. There's more training for to sure. be done. And, you know, I said in the Instagram post, iron sharpens iron. I mean, you have some amazing people around you that I think if you decide to take your foot off the gas, are going to fucking fuck you up. Mm-hmm. That's what I think was so interesting about jiu-jitsu is like, just when you think like, oh, maybe I'll go easy today, you get absolutely fucking smashed.
Yeah.
And that's a fun realization, realizing every time you walk in there, you got to be on your A game.
For yeah. sure. How did you approach when you finally step up on that podium to collect your gold medal? Did you have any thought in your mind that I can't enjoy this too much because I know that there's more work to be done? Did you want to have a short-term memory about it? What was going through your head when you finally achieved this goal?
Man, so two stories about first. You asked me about when Victor won his first gold awards. I was here, actually, at the Gi Awards, right? I was not here whenever he won the first one at No Gi, because that was
2019.
Yeah, that was 2019. Yes, in the final. He won in the open class. I think, yeah, he lost to Cyborg in the class, and he beat him on the open class. And then I was not here on this one, but in the Gi Awards, I was here already. And the craziest thing is like, I mean, Victor was the one that brought me here, right? Like we met long time ago in Brazil. I was 16, 15 years old. And we would travel together to fight different tournaments, right?
So he was grooming you.
No.
You did it.
Yeah. Well, there is a picture floating around of Victor in the back of at a P Shitty party at what's his name? Pedo Daddy? No. So when that whole thing pumped out, I actually, you know, as you guys know, I'm a wizard on Photoshop, dropped Victor into the back in a P. Diddy party. And so we sent that around as like, hey, Vic, are you okay? Do we need to help you? So, so he was grooming you.
No, but yeah, so then we met at this time.
God, I love shit talking on podcasts. Uh-huh. Oh, not to cut you off, but like I've done all of these interview style podcasts where I'm like constantly like bringing on doctors and talking to people. And like, you know, people are like, oh, you seem so like mundane. And like, I'm like, because I got fucking questions, you fucking assholes. So now mm-hmm. it's good to talk shit.
But yeah, so then we met at the time. He came to US first. In 2020, he went to Brazil to have a super fight there. And we went to train together and we spent like a week together. And I remember that in the end of the week, he was like, hey, how come you're not in the US? Like, why not? And I was like, man, I'm waiting for the right moment, you know, like I'm waiting for the right opportunity to. And then he was like, man, let's go with me. Like whenever I go back right now, just buy a flight. I'm come back in on January, get your flight. I can talk with our sponsors to get your flight. You come with me and we're going to go try to get your visa. We're going to live together. We're going to whatever I eat, you're going to eat. We're going to just train together and let's beat everyone up. Let's win a bunch of tournaments, you know? And I was like, man, you know what? Okay, let's do it. So in the same moment, we went to our sponsor and like, hey, what about buying Philippe flights so he can go to the US with me? And then he was like, yeah, let's do it. Boom. He bought my flight and I came to US and then I live with Victor for good months. And then
this is Oklahoma, right?
Yes, we live first in Oklahoma.
This is after COVID, right?
Right after COVID, whenever was January 2021. Mm. Yes. So then we were fighting a lot. And then they announced that they're going to have awards in the end of 2021. And then I remember that was the first awards that Victor won. And man, I just like, I remember that he won the division. I think he lost in the open class. Then whenever he won the division, man, I just like, I couldn't hold, you know, I start to cry because it was a year already that we were working, training together, you know? So for me, it was like, I was winning the awards with him, you know? And I remember that I started to cry and I was just so happy that I could help him, you know, to achieve that dream, you know? And then, yeah. And then this time that I won, man, he was with me the whole time, you know? He was not there in Vegas, but every single fight, he was like sending me messages. Hey, this guy, he does that. Hey, this fight was really good. You did that really good, but now you can do that better, you know? You can maybe try to do that every single fight. And in the final, I remember that he didn't say much. He was just like, hey, now it's time to let everything out, you know? Just let it go. It's the final now, like last fight of the day, 10 more minutes for the gold. And I was like, okay, so whenever I win there, I just, man, I'm gonna let everything out, you know, like not hold back. And so, yeah, that was a really, really good story, you know, because I feel that in the beginning, I was really there for him. And right now I feel that he was really there for me, you know, so that was for me really special, you know, and me, the love that I have for, he's like my older brother, you know, like he's the one that is always sending me messages, like right before words, before I leave, he was like, hey, let's have dinner together. He was putting himself available to train with me all the time, you know, because he was in Asia, but whenever he came back, he spent like a week here and he was making himself available every single day, you know, so I feel that, man, I love that guy so much, you know?
Has he talked to you since winning? Like, hey, yeah. What's next and how to deal with? Because he's already won it four times now. So I bet he's also dealt with kind of the lull that happens after you achieve something great. Is there anything that he coached you up on in terms of, hey, you have eyes on the next thing? Or what has that sounded like?
Yeah, I feel that we talked yesterday. I went to his house. We were kind of like talking about some ideas. And this morning, we also were together. Man, he was more like a talking about how we can like make them more. How can I say? Because, man, jiu-jitsu is hard. You win the awards and nothing changes, you know? Like, you're not going to be millionaire because you won awards. You're not going to get rich, you know? But how you can use that to achieve the next level, you know? What can you do differently that you can achieve the next level? I think that was what we kind of were talking about. And was something that it's also kind of like, man, we need to know how to be active all the time, you know, like in social media and like how you can use that in a good way, you know? So that was something that we kind of like talk about too. And I feel that right now it's more like end of the year, Christmas, New Year's, it's getting close. So it's more like, man, let's enjoy this time in January. Let's go back really strong, you know, because how I said, I would have a fight in February. And yeah, I feel that that's the path right now, you know, how to use that to make our lives better, you know,
amplify your success.
Yes. Yes. Because man, how many like world champions you see that they don't reach the next level, not just in jiu-jitsu, but I mean like money wise, you know, like how can you use that to get more money, to make more money, you know, with super fights, with everything around you, you know? So I think that's a big piece, you know? Does that make sense?
It's good. It makes huge sense.
Well, no, I mean, it's exciting to see you at the cusp of this deal. And hopefully we can make some strategic decisions going forward that allow you to continue to, or build upon what you've created. You know, with everybody, especially young athletes, like I think about it almost like like a layering effect, right? Like you laid a layer, here's the groundwork, and then layers and layers and layers. And if you don't build those initial layers, then your house gets very unstable. So what's been good is we built a lot of these layers and just continue to build and build and build. You know, one of the one things that I noticed a little bit different in this, you know, watching you this time is you kind of always started a little slow. Early, like when I was watching you on some of the fights, whereas I never see you start slow when we're in practice. Like you're always in the fight in here and, you know, like pushing forward, push, push, push. And whereas like now I finally see you being more aggressive and that feels good because I feel like, you know, like no longer, I mean, this is something Victor and I talked a ton about. He was always scared of his lack of conditioning. He's like, you know, I just kind of like, you know, played and did all the things that I had to do. And then I knew I had about a 30-second sprint to be able to do it because my conditioning was never good. So one of the things when we started training is I was like, you need to have the conditioning to be able to fight the match the entire time. Sure. And so all of a sudden we went into some of those big fights and he was like pushing the entire time. It was the who's number one that you went to. I mean, he fucking murdered that dude for the entire time. I mean, from the initial jump, I mean, what we saw at Worlds. So that confidence in the training and like the conditioning and knowing that you have the gas to be able to do it. Even at the end, if you're gassed, you still have more in the tank. I feel like that was a huge like stepping stone and on something that I you know, we got to really just build upon. And, you know, in your training, the one thing that I think you did different, obviously you cleaned up the diet, the training, but you started doing more zone two work. And I feel like that, and I know it is for me, like if I want to be sub 10% body fat or even close to 10, I have to do some form of aerobic training every single day. I got to get up and like, you know, either walk or do the echo or do something to get in shape. Like I've never been able to get in shape without actually getting in shape. And that's, you know, when we look at like the, you know, the Morpheus and the heart rate zones and all that other jiggy shit, the one thing that you guys do in JITS is you're so efficient that like, you know, like some of the scrambles will see spikes, but for the most part, you guys are just efficient in what you do. So, I mean, even when I was talking to Shanji about his training, I'm like, Shanji, like you're in zone one, zone two, the entire time you train, unless you're getting your head fucking smashed. And even then you're super efficient. So being able to get him into some different training zones, I think is important. Whereas, you know, like when you're new in jiu-jitsu or even not even, you know, not at their level, you know, you tend to have some scrambles in this, but like the better you get, the more efficient you are. So you can roll for, you know, Lovato rolling for fucking 60 minutes. Like you're not fucking smashing for 60 minutes.
Well, also Philippe was lucky enough to join Shanji's coffee and run club, which is cute.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like whenever I move here to the to US, right, Victor was the only guy that I knew it. He was the one that brought me here, so he was the only guy that I knew it. And man, I've been just really, really thankful because then I met Shanji, then I met Lovato, then I met all of you guys, Lionel, all of like Six Blades black belt, you know, and that's been awesome. But talking about the conditioning, that was like in the beginning was to help me lose the weight, you know, so I could do some cardio and help me lose the weight. But right now I feel that it's more like it's a more at myself, a time for me, you know, a me time, right? That's right. Me time. Because, man, I like to run outside, you know? So whenever I go run outside, I just put like headphones, a good song, and I start to walk through all the steps. Sometimes it's what I'm going to do during the day. Sometimes it's what like it's my like next fight, you know? It's kind of like a meditation, you know? So today I do more because of that than really like the conditioning. Because like the conditioning is also great, but I feel that I never like really stop to think about what was going on during my day, during my week, you know, and right now that I have this time, I kind of like stop to think. So that's really good. And answering what Rash asked me about the podium, man, this week before Worlds, since they posted the brackets, I've been so, every single night I've been thinking and dreaming, you know, about like, and the thing was my dreams was always of me winning, you know? So I feel that I live this moment for like a week straight, you know? And I remember that I would wake up and I would kind of like, oh man, that was a good dream, you know? I'm grateful for this dream and blah, blah, blah. So I live this moment so many times that whenever I went there, I was kind of like, yo, that was all that I dream of, you know? I already lived this moment before, you know? So I was just feeling like, yeah, we did it. Now it's real, you know? We made it happen. So it was more like
visualization. is so underrated.
Yeah.
I believe that if you can see your destiny and where you want to go, you can get there. For me, what I did with visualization before every game, I used to actually like close my eyes and imagine myself like, you know, in the huddle, running to the ball, getting on the line. And then what I would do is I would hear the play snap and I would move and I would see myself getting beat. And then I would rewind and then see myself basically correcting the error. Mm-hmm. So I would see the error that I was going to make, and then I would see the correction, and then I would like imagine myself doing it right five times. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the next play, and I'd see like, okay, if I take this step, the guy's going to do this, I'm going to lose. And then I'd go and rewind, and then I'm going to take this step, and I'm going to do here. And like, that was incredible. And I didn't know why I did it. And it was, we had, it was either Tara Sword or one of the podcasts we've done in over the many years, but they talked about like visualization and basically visualizing yourself in the moment, making the error and then correcting the error so that you don't make it again was extremely powerful. And I think for jiu-jitsu, I am still trying to figure out what the fuck to do with my hands a lot of times. But I think at the level you guys are at, there's so many moments where you're like in the middle of like, hey, technically I'm doing this, the guy's doing this. Now I can't let him do this. And I call this the spider sense. Mm-hmm. This happens to me all the time. All of a sudden I get into a position and somebody's doing something and I know it's not good and it's going to end in a bad way. I just don't know how to thwart it or stop it, or I don't know what I did to allow them to get there, mm-hmm. which is like the learning piece. But for you guys, for as much effort and time and exposure you have, like you guys are in a position, somebody's going to something and you know like, okay, this is going to be bad if I let them finish, so I have to stop here. Or they've got me in this position, now I have to escape. And if I, you know, like when I was rolling with Victor and I thought I had a good position and he did that single arm choke on me, he like grabbed here and I thought I had everything covered because I had his hand. I didn't know he could choke me with one hand. And I was like, there's no way he chokes me with one hand. He fucking choked me with one hand. Mm-hmm. And like, but then now I like know that I put that in like the memory bank of, I'm real good with like, if I've been there before, I'm like, oh, last time I was here, they did this. Let me not let them do this. And I think that's what's so interesting with jiu-jitsu, with the repetition model, that you guys are going through the repetitions and kind of going through this mm-hmm. to the point where now all of a sudden, like you go roll with a guy like Giancarlo and you have that in your mind where you're like, okay, I know he's trying to get to this spot because now he's dominant. Now I have to stop him from getting where he wants to go. And like, that's an interesting piece because there's like, it's like choose your own adventure. You know, like I know every time I roll with Shanji, he lays back, he gets his shields up and he reaches cross collar and he grabs my fucking collar because he wants to cross collar choke me. Mm-hmm. And like, I know that's his setup.
Yeah.
And we get there. And like every time I feel like a video game when you get to the deal and you die and you're like, okay, hit restart, restart, mm-hmm. restart. And I keep restarting and I don't know how to get past that. And I think that's an interesting piece where now you're looking at, and I call it athletic problem solving. It's one of the hallmarks for Power Athletes training program. But the idea of like, here's the blueprint. Here's all the training I've done. Now I have to get into these positions where now I'm using athletic problem solving to allow myself to be more intelligent and to not continue to make the same mistakes. That's what I think is so interesting with jiu-jitsu in terms of neuroflexibility and just the idea of lacking crystallization and that you're always shown a slightly different version that you have to navigate your body through. And I think that's what's really good in the anti-aging aspect.
Have you ever achieved anything without always thinking about it? Like, for instance, they say follow your dreams. And none of my, like my dream, the recurring dream that I have is that I'm scoring a goal in the final for my favorite soccer team, Inter Milan. And like they say follow your dreams, but I almost never have a dream about grappling. It's just what I do when I'm awake. But have you ever achieved something that, you know, you really sought after but never was like really in your mind? Or maybe there was a tournament that, because you said you dreamed about it all yeah. last week. Has there ever been a tournament where like you got a good place but you didn't necessarily think about
yeah.
it?
Yeah, for sure. I feel that the thing was like, man, this tournament was special for me because since the beginning, that was like, I want to be a world champion, you know, like that was my dream. So last year, I felt really close, you know, and then this year, whenever the brackets went out and I saw all the possibilities, I knew it pretty much who I'm going to be facing every single match, you know, because I was like, okay, man, this fight is going to be tough, but I think this guy is gonna go through, you know, let me see what he does. But for sure, the first fight, I feel that is the most important fight, you know, like it doesn't matter the tournament, the first fight, if you don't win the first fight, you're out, right?
But it's not necessarily in your dream. Yes. The first fight is not usually in your dream.
No.
It's usually the last match.
Yeah. And then like, what happened in my first fight is I knew when I got a buy. So the guy had a fight first and I kind of like saw his fight. And I was like, man, I know the points that I'm gonna make a switch here and I'm gonna get him, you know, like I know maybe he's gonna make a mistake right here and I'm gonna get him, you know. And then whenever I got to the position, I was like, okay, now I cannot lose anymore, you know. So if you see, whenever I got to his back, I was really calm to make sure that I got to the submission, you know, that I get the submission, because
calma.
Dude, it was hilarious. Was all the time like calma.
He says it to me all the time. As I was watching it on the computer, all of a sudden I hear him. I goes calma. I'm like, fucking Shanji,
yeah,
like a broken record.
But man, talking about the like visualization, Arash, I don't know if you do that, but whenever like I'm going to fight a tournament, I always imagine myself a real fight. You know, I feel that that's what people kind of like whenever they imagine themselves, they always imagine themselves doing the things like, oh, I'm going to do the best things right here. You know, like they imagine the highlight, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. Like the best takedown. I imagine myself in the real situation. Like, okay,
yeah,
if that happens, if the guy takes me down, like what I'm going to do, you know?
Yeah.
If that happens, what I'm going to do, you know?
What I imagine, you're doing is you're imagining contingencies.
Yes.
Where all we're the like, possibilities. What happens if everything fucking goes to shit?
Yeah. All the possibilities. Like, possible. It's like, okay, this may happen. Like this guy, he's good at this takedown. He may get me in this takedown. So if he get me here, what can I do to prevent him from going like further away, you know? So I always imagine myself on these times, you know, and I also imagine myself in the position that I'm good at. So like, for example, I'm good at this takedown. So I imagine myself doing this takedown and what I'm going to do right after I get a takedown, you know, like how he's going to respond. Maybe the guy's a little flexible. So he's going to try maybe responding, connecting, guard really fast. Maybe the guy, he likes to stand up. So he's going to try to stand up really fast. So maybe I can jump on his back, you know, like, so I imagine myself in all these possibilities. And then I'm like, oh, okay, now that I already leave that, I'm good. Like, I know what may happen and I know how I'm going to respond to that really fast, you know?
So one of the things that I carried with me my entire NFL career and a big portion of my life is I had a firm belief that nobody had worked harder than me.
Mm-hmm.
So early in my NFL career, you know, I think I've told you guys, I got hurt my rookie year and I came back in rehab and came back and started 16 games that next year. I left that next one because they didn't pay me an offseason workout bonus. So I went down to Tampa, bought a house down there and was living, and I reached out to my agent. I need somebody to train with. So he puts me in touch with this guy named Rafael Ruiz. So I show up, and I don't know if you guys have met Raf. He's who trained me for my NFL career. And I met Raf, and he's Filipino. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if he was 18 or 50. Right. He just like, he's looked the same
for Asian
the
last. Don't raise him.
Yeah. No, he's looked the same for as long as I've known him. So I start training with him and he breaks me the fuck off. Like we were, like it was the hardest training. And I remember, I went back and had a killer season. Like, and then as soon as the season was done, I went back and we started it again. And all of a sudden, like my birthday's in March. And I remember he hit me up. He's like, I'm like, I got my birthday this weekend. And he's like, oh, my birthday's this weekend too. What's your birthday? I was like, 30th. He's like, the 31st. And I was like, let's do our birthdays. So we went out to sushi restaurant. We sit down. They like bring me a cake with like numbers on it. And I was like 25. And like all of a sudden they bring Raf's cake and he's 27. Hmm. And I was like, holy shit, dude, you're only 2 years older than me. Like, I would never have hired him if he was my age, because I started training with him when I was like 24 and he was 20. I was like, how the fuck is this guy? And he's just a genius. Mm-hmm. But the training we did, and I always go back to Louis Simmons told me this, if you want to master Kung Fu, the training must be severe. He said that to me over and over again, Louis Simmons from Westside Barbell. And I think of those training sessions that we had in those early days with Raf, to the point where we had people come in to train with us. We had a big training group. NFL guys would come in. Dudes would leave after a day and be like, I don't want to fucking work this hard. This is crazy.
For sure.
And I have a plow horse mentality where like, I don't care. Like, I don't care what it takes. Like, if this is what we're doing, this is what we're going to do. And I will not quit and I will not give up. And that kind of plow horse, like put my fucking blinders on and just keep fucking going. That mentality is extremely valuable, because all of a sudden you get into a situation where your foot gets broken or something happens or you break a leg like I did. And you realize the training that I've done in the past and the amount of hard work that I've done up until this moment will not allow me to not continue to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with the training that we've done, you know, everything, and this is an interesting piece too. You guys do so much volume on the mats. I mean, sometimes training 2 and 3 times a day. So like being able to kind of balance that volume and that mm-hmm. intensity with what we can get done. So that's why we always do the warm-ups in this. And I kind of always kind of fuck around and talk to, and I kind of see how everybody's feeling. We start warming up and then the workout literally takes a detour based upon what we do in the initial sets in the workout, because sometimes you guys are fried. Other days you guys are ready to go, and you have to be able to like push the gas on those days and give break on others and kind of monitor it a little bit. But I think the amount of work that you have done up until this point, you know, coming from Brazil, being here, all the trials and tribulations, all this stuff does is it just creates a solid foundation for you to basically stand mm-hmm. upon. So when shit gets hard, and it will, there'll mm-hmm. be a moment where all of a sudden, like everything goes to shit and nothing is going your way. And you're going to think to yourself, like, what do I do? The same thing I've always done. Mm-hmm. Work hard. For and sure. Because the only thing that I've learned in this life is the only people, like, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you earn. Mm-hmm. And that is a sad fucking realization that's taken me decades to learn mm-hmm. that, like, you know, like why not me? How come I didn't get this? Why didn't I get this? And it's like, you don't always get what you want. You don't always get it, but you definitely get what you earn. So if you put in the work, and I think the thing that's been exciting for me, especially for you to see this progress, is to see you've done the work. Mm-hmm. Like there wasn't a day where all of a sudden you're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I think I'm just going to go to the beach or I'm just going to fuck off and do this. Or we went to a movie and I'm tired. Like there was never a moment of that mm-hmm. shit. Every day was like, what are we doing? What are we going to train? This is what we're doing. This is who we are. And this is what we do. And for me, that's exciting to see young guys having that same level of dedication and like mindless, blinder stupidity, mm-hmm. which it's not stupid in any means. It just means you fucking go like a plow horse. And, you know, if you guys were anything but this, I would torture you. Mm-hmm. I'd talk shit to you until you just fucking never showed up.
To quote Philippe, right after ADCC, he put it in our group chat for the training. He said, hey guys, how's everybody feeling? Let's not turn off this fire. And I never forgot it. It was like right after you got your bronze at ADCC and you texted us, let's not turn off this fire.
And do you remember what you said to me at ADCC? Hayes in the barn.
Hayes in the barn. Party.
Which, you know, for those of you guys that have been listening, Bubba Miller, who I played with at the Eagles when I was a young guy, he was a farm kid from Tennessee. And he'd always say the Hayes in the barn. And then finally I was like, what the fuck is this Hayes in the barn? And he's like, well, dude, you didn't grow up on a farm. And he's like, you know, when all of the hay's in the barn and it's all settled down, now it's time to relax. The work is done. The hay's in the barn. You shut the doors and you go on with your life. And so that was a big piece of like, you know, don't ever feel like you didn't do enough to get there. Like you never wanted to be one of those guys that's like, ah, I just barely get here because I did just enough. Mm-hmm. Feel that you did the work and now all of a sudden, I you know, that it's required of you. I think it's the only way to honor yourself and honor the gods is by doing what's required of you and then going out and being successful. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm proud to be on this journey with you. I think you have a ton of potential and it's always neat to see potential actually turn into success. Cause for me, you know, potential is just wasted talent. So to see potential and talent and hard work all kind of meet, is exciting. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on another episode of Power Athlete Radio. Hey there, Power Athlete Nation. Big shout out to all the heavy hitters who stuck around till the final whistle. If you've been soaking in the knowledge bombs and epic tales you've been dropping for free, here's your chance to be a game changer. Swing by kofi.com/powerathlete and toss a few bucks our way to keep the podcast fueled and firing on all cylinders. That's kofi.com/powerathlete. Your support makes a difference. See ya.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.